Hey, Matt, out talk on live episode 136.
Okay, everybody in Edmonton, tune in. The Edmonton Oilers are out. The Edmonton Rush are out. And the number one MMA organization in the country is going to be live. May 10th at the Shaw Conference Center. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.ca. And when I say it's going to be nuts, it's going to be nuts. And I mean nuts. I'm nuts. It's going to be crazy.
I'd like to give a shout-out to our wonderful sponsors at Clench Custom Mouthguards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crime, Central Oregon Trike, Vision Smoke Shop, Draco Impact Armor, Pro-Am Belt, Game Changer Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, Hype Bike Store, Never Tap, and Brawl Base. Check out 24 and LV on Twitter. Yo.
Hey, I'd like everybody to know tonight, Lebocky will not be joining us. I'm sorry, but he's had technical issues, and we can't seem to unmute his microphone. So I'm real sorry, everybody.
What are we going to do?
Check out this selection right here. Where you from? Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mother. And she's birthed your monkey ass.
So was that a good dinner, Lepaki, or what?
I don't know. I'm still eating.
All I can hear is a plate and a fork or something whacking across.
No shit. He's just shoveling it down, folks. I'm watching him. He's like a vacuum. Just.
Fuck, man. Well, that's what happens, dude. After dip class today, all I had was I had my normal lunch of some romaine lettuce.
Oh, and hey, Caesar dressing. Cheese to go with your wine.
But, man, that just doesn't, after you get grappled for 45 minutes, dude, that's just not enough, man. I got home, I was about to fucking die.
Watch
it. I got to do one thing, though, before we go on, man. I want to give a big, huge congratulatory shout-out to two people tonight. One, insane Dave Corshane, my buddy over at Clinch Radio. He just signed a big deal with XFC. And then a guy that I've been screaming for the UFC to sign for, seems like, years now, Brandon the Ruckus Thatch has officially signed a four-fight deal with the UFC. It's about damn time.
Hey, I'd like to give a big shout-out to another great friend and somebody we've sponsored on multiple fights, and that's DJ, the protege Linderman. 3 weeks from now, he'll be in Poland fighting for a world heavyweight title again. At Fighters Arena, folks, get out there and support him, man. He's a big fan of ours. We're a big fan of his. Also, this weekend, guys, Madhouse fighter Bruce Richards throwing it down. You guys know that. That kid goes just beast mode every week that he can. So he'll be in New York fighting again on another amateur card, just about to wrap up his amateur career. So you guys get out there and try to see him while you can before it's done, and he's a pro.
Yeah, because then he's going to go. She's going straight to the big show.
MFC.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I also want to give a shout out to Mike DeRossier, or DeRossier, or however you say his last name. You guys know I butcher it. He trains with Bruce, and he has bought some of our gear in the past, and he hit me up asking if he could represent it to the cage again. I told him, have fun. Go at it. So he'll be the second fighter that night on the same card, repping Madhouse, going out to the cage.
That'll be sick. Who else can we give a shout-out to real quick?
Amanda Bell. She's about to whoop down on some Charmaine tweet. Coming up. Battle at the Battle for the Border 2 in Canada. And I'm going to tell you fans right now who are Charmaine tweet followers and fans. I think a lot of her, you guys know that. But I think it's kind of odd and disrespectful to overlook not only Amanda, but overlook her title fight coming up 4 weeks after that to start calling out Cyborg Santos. I think that's completely asinine. Amanda, go in there and stop those dreams.
Man, oh, I also got to give a big shout-out to Eddie Blackburn, Alfonso Gonzalez, Javier Villalpando. I just want to show you guys some love, man. Thank you. War Yankees. War Knicks. Go Eddie Blackburn.
Yeah, big shout-out to Eddie and Zoe. You know, kid's a beast, man. He's legit. He's only getting better. And, you know, straight up, dude, that is one of the sickest walkout shirts ever, bro. I'll give it to you on that one, man, for real. That dumb player, dude. The boys over at Revolver really killed it.
And, hey, you know, since we're on MFC, man, I was kind of a cranky son of a bitch yesterday when the news rolled out that Chris Barnett and his management team didn't feel the need or the responsibility or the respect for either A, Mark Pavlich, Shmuelino Rama, or any of the people fighting at MFC this weekend by dilly-dallying with their bullshit and the medicals and then dropping a bomb on everybody yesterday that they won't be able to fight because of a problem with Barnett's eyesight. I think that's just the biggest scumbag move I've heard in a long time. You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, and I wish Mark was able to join us tonight. I'd love to talk to him about it. I can't imagine the mind frame he was in yesterday. But I know that Shmuelino had been working his ass off for this fight, and it's just very, very disrespectful what happened on Chris Barnett and Mickey Duberly's behalf. I hope that they don't fight again and they get blacklisted from a lot of MMA shows. That's my rant for the night.
I don't think he'll ever fight again anywhere, at least not a legit organization.
I actually think that his manager, for being such a douchebag, should have to step in and take the fight with Shmuelino. That would teach the guy. That would teach people not to do that shit. If there was a way we could incorporate a rule like that, that's how you fix that problem. You want to be a scumbag manager and you want to screw over promotion another fighter, you get in and take the guy's place.
Dude, that's an interesting concept.
I wonder what Mark would think about it.
Well, let's jump to our first guest, Jason Zingraf. How are you, buddy? Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lopaki and Skippy.
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, dude, glad to have you back.
A pleasure. So you're getting all ready for this great card, man. Everybody, North, South America, all over the world is going to be watching this. How excited are you to be the big show this weekend?
I'm very excited, you know. I've never fought in a show like MFC before. Like you said, it's going to be broadcast all over the world, and it's going to be amazing. You know, there's a lot of really tough fights. You guys are talking about the Rama-Barnett fight falling through. That's tragedy because, man, that was going to be a great fight. And I'm good friends with Rama, and yeah, he's pretty bummed about it, but he's got a very good mentality about it, and he's not getting down on anybody. He's just trying to make sure everything goes over smoothly, and he's still here. He'll be at the fights and everything. So, yeah, it should be a fun night. I'm excited.
So let me ask you, you know, I guess it was just close to 3 years ago, you made your pro debut on a Rumble of the Rich card here in the Pacific Northwest. Did you foresee this quickly, everything going the way it did, and MFC stepping up, and now I believe this is your third fight for the organization?
I never could have dreamed it would have went like this. I'm glad it did. I love fighting for the MFC. It's a great promotion. Yeah, back then I was just stoked to be making money. I think I don't know exactly how much I got paid. I think I got $500 and $500 for that fight, but I was just excited because I had 8 amateur fights where I didn't make a dime, and now I was making money. So yeah, that's all I was thinking about back then. But yeah, you know, I'm happy where I'm at, and yeah, I just can't wait to get in there on Friday and go up against Luke.
You definitely, I know a lot of fans here and, you know, in the Pacific Northwest and throughout the whole world who are fans of yours are really excited to see this. I know a lot of us in the media feel that this is a really important fight for where you're going to be positioned for titles in this organization. So does any of that weigh on you at any point?
No, not really. The more that's on the line, the more excited I get about it. I'm really not one of those fighters that gets too nervous about the fight. You know, I'll get a little bit of nerves the day before, but when it comes fight time, the day of the fight, I don't get nervous at all, whether it's, you know, whatever's on the line, whether, you know, I get a title shot after I beat this guy or what have you. It seems like the more pressure that other people would have, you know, the more that I shine. And I know a lot of people say that, like, oh, don't get nervous for fights, and then you see him peeing every 10 seconds, or you see him pacing back and forth. But no, I've had 16 fights total, and yeah, you know, I'm just excited to be fighting. It's going to be interesting fighting in front of his hometown. You know, everybody in Canada is so nice. I'm sure they still cheer for me, but if anything, I'm sure he's got more pressure fighting in front of his hometown, where his gym is, whereas me, like.
We should be live. I'm going to try to get Jason back in queue.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Lepaki? Okay, are you on with me?
Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Jason.
Hey.
We can hear you. Lepaki, we can hear you. It looks like we've got things fixed. Jason, I'm gonna touch back what I was going to. I apologize about all this technical difficulties, but
no worries.
Talking about your stress and mentality level and how you've been dealing with, you know, it's really not affecting you. Was this last week before the weigh-ins, was this more fun at the gym? Was it more a little lackadaisical because you're not so stressed?
Yeah, it was more lackadaisical. It was more just, you know, jogging and cutting weight, monitoring my nutrition, things like that, just hanging out with the girlfriend. And, yeah, it was pretty mellow, you know. I don't really get worked up fight week.
Hey, I got a question that I was trying to ask you earlier when you were talking about, you were kind of joking about you watch the guys peeing a lot and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I've asked this question a few times, dude. So what is the right time of day for you to take a shit on fight day prior to your fight?
I probably like to blast a deuce probably, like, you know, at least an hour before the venue, you know. Don't want to leave anything hanging, if you know what I mean.
No, yeah, for sure, bro, for sure.
See, this is why we have you come back. Your family, we feel comfortable with you, and we want the fans to know the real you.
Nice, yeah, thanks.
Now, I do have a question, man. I've picked, you know, the MFC posts all their fight cards over on Tapology. You can go over there and, like, they list all your record and everything like that. I picked three of your fights on there. I've only got one perfect, man. It was your fight at Bully Fights. I picked you to go submission in the first round. And then your first fight at MFC against Cody, I thought you might KO him, but you duped me and got another submission. And then
yeah.
In the fight with Clay Davidson, you really duped me because I thought first round KO for sure this time. And then you totally were like, second round submission. How should I pick the fight this time?
You know what? Third time's a charm. I guess it'd be fourth time. Yeah, I'd go KO. I mean, that fight with Cody, I ended up dropping him with a lead hook as I was backing up and then syncing up the choke. So I still did some damage, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do. As far as Clay, man, that dude is tough. He's, if you look at him, he's got no neck. I mean, he's just got a huge head, no neck, and takes a hell of a punch. So, yeah, he was hard to hurt. And, man, yeah, I was just excited that I could finish him in the second. You know, I was afraid that would go to decision. That's the last thing I want, is to win a fight by decision.
Yeah, you do not like going the distance, man. Everything has been a finish for you as far as your wins.
Yeah, the only fight that I went to decision was the one that I lost against Mario Miranda, who is very similar to Luke. He was a Brazilian national wrestling champ. Their wrestling's kind of like judo. And then he had a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu as well. So that was kind of the fight where I kind of, you know, tripped, stumbled a bit, and had a good showing. You know, everybody there except the judges seemed to think I won the fight. Maurice Mo Smith, he was the commentator. He was actually one of Mario's coaches, and he even said on the air that he thought I won the fight. And but, you know, whatever. I let it go to the decision, and yeah, it's my fault. I should have finished him. You know, you never leave it in the hands of the judges. You know, seems cliche, but it's 100% true. You never know how one coach is looking at it. One coach might be a wrestler. One coach might be a boxer. So, you know, you really just can't leave it up to anybody but yourself.
Well, and I mean, if you're going to have a loss on your record, and I'm not saying a loss is a good thing, but a loss to a guy like a Mario Miranda is not a really bad thing either.
No, yeah, he's the current M1 global champ. You know, he had four fights in the UFC, and then I was his very first fight out of the UFC. So, you know, he's a really tough guy, and, you know, I'm glad that I, you know, at that time I knew that I could hang with you know, that high level of competition. That, you know, he wasn't able to take me out, and really, he wasn't able to do any damage on me. You know, he pushed me against the cage. Even then, I was beating him up, and then he took me down, and I was able to get back up. I almost submitted him with an armbar. So, you know, it was a good confidence booster, yet keeping me humble.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I have a question about, you know, Montana's been really spitting out some really high-quality guys, yourself, Tim Welch, Lloyd Woodard. Do you guys ever train together, or are you guys, you know, so far apart that that's not really feasible to have happen?
Yeah, no, I actually train with Lloyd Woodard, and I used to train with Tim. Now he trains at the MMA lab down in Phoenix, Arizona, and believe it or not, my first amateur fight ever was against Tim Welch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I ended up TKOing him in like 3 minutes or so. It was a... Oh, man, you can find it online. It's a really sloppy fight. You know, neither of us had fought before. I think he was 18. I was like 19. And, oh, man, it's sloppy. But, yeah, he's a crazy tough dude. I didn't knock him out by any means. He's almost impossible to knock out. But I just got his back and started hitting him, and he wasn't able to get out, so the ref called it.
Dude, now, see, that's something that, you know, a lot of fans, you know, don't really pay attention to the local scene, and it's a really a great opportunity to see. I mean, look at yourself. You're up there at MFC. What, you know, Skippy and I repeatedly say is one of the top two or three organizations on planet Earth. You've got Tim Welch just made the Fight Masters television show. He's fought in Bellator. I mean, dude, the opportunity to see you guys at such a young stage in your career, it, you know, the fight may not have been the best in your opinion, but still to get to see somebody like where you guys started at and now to see where you're at, it's always, like, I love being able to say, man, I remember watching that guy fight at Cage Sport, you know, 7-8 years ago when he was just a little guy trying to pave his way. And I think, you know, that's something that the fans really need to take notice, is that you never know who you're going to see at a local event.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a lot of really big guys have had starts, and obviously small promotions, everybody starts there, but in Missoula specifically, or Montana, I know Roy Nelson fought in Butte, Montana, for Fight Force. Josh Barnett was training in Missoula when he was fighting in Pride. So yeah, there's a lot of really tough guys who come through Missoula or Montana, and seems like they either move away or, you know, they stay there, sometimes move on, but they usually start there, and if they progress with their career, they seem to move away. So they don't, you know, they're not known for being from Missoula. They're known for training at, you know, Greg Jackson's gym or what have you. So, yeah, there's a lot of tough guys who get their start here.
Now, that leads me into my next question. We always hear about the elevation training that these guys get down in New Mexico, but how can that be any more advantageous than to what you guys are doing up in Montana, where you're actually really training in some big mountains? And I'm not trying to say, you know, New Mexico is a little flat land or anything like that. There's some high elevation there. But in Montana, you guys are kind of taking it to a whole nother level. How much does that help you inside the cage with your cardio, knowing that that's what you guys are training in?
Well, it gives me confidence to know that, you know, we're training at a higher altitude. But, you know, a lot of studies have shown that if you, you know, train at a high altitude and then when you move down to a lower altitude to fight, it only takes about a day, maybe two, and your red blood cells adapt. And then you don't have that advantage anymore. What they have shown, which is actually very interesting, is if you sleep at a high elevation and then train down low, your body will pack more red blood cells into your blood and giving you the higher capability of training at that low elevation because it's bracing itself for a lower amount of oxygen. So it's really interesting. There's some common misconceptions about that, but as far as me training up there, it's up in the hills, you know, fresh air, and it's a bit harder because it is at high elevation, and it just toughens you up, you know, builds character, as my old man would always say.
How far away from Whitefish are you, Jason?
I'm about an hour and a half or so, maybe 2 hours.
Nice. I went up there to a couple baseball tournaments when I was a wee lad.
A wee lad.
For some Legion ball about 18 years ago.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Whitefish is pretty nice.
Yeah, man, and it's so beautiful. My uncle actually was stationed up in Great Falls, so I mean, I'm real familiar with Montana. I think it's a beautiful country. Now, do you hunt, fish, do anything like that when you're not getting ready to beat somebody's ass?
You know, I haven't gone hunting in a long time since I was in high school. After I graduated high school, I just focused on studying for my bachelor degree in health and human performance, and then my personal ACSM personal training certification after that. But so I didn't really have enough time to go hunting, but I still do go fishing, and I really don't get out as much as I should, but I think this summer I'm going to try and get out and, hopefully snag some hogs.
Nice.
I love that. Down in Texas, year-round, you can blast them things. No license needed. We used to get a couple.
Skippy, he's talking about big fish, bro, not shooting fucking wild boars, bro.
Oh. I'm thinking, dude, blast some hogs, man.
Well, that too. I mean, I've never went hunting for boars, but I'm sure that'd be fun too.
Oh, that's a blast, man. You get a couple of buddies, a pickup truck, and a couple of cases of beer, go out spotlighting. It's a blast.
Yeah, my buddy goes boar hunting in Hawaii. He has pit bulls that corner a pig, and then you jump on it with a knife and cut its throat until it bleeds out. It's pretty primal.
Dude, we do that in Texas. We have catch dog and bait dogs, and once you get your catch dogs to lock down the boar, your bait dogs will circle him and, you know, keep biting at his hinds and his shoulders, and then you just step in, and from asshole to appetite, you cut him.
Nice. Yeah, that's...
Dude, it's insane.
Yeah, that's gnarly. One of my buddies showed me a video of him doing that, and that's... Yeah, that would be something I want to try one day. That's intense.
It's a blast.
I think Mark would prefer if you wait until after your fighting career to be out there trying to fillet up some live hogs, though, Jason.
Yeah, I don't need to get gored up by some boar.
Definitely. Now, we've been talking about you getting ready for MFC 37 May 10th. I got to ask you, MFC 45 is coming up down the road. Who is the one kid in your gym today that we could possibly see on that card?
Oh, man. There's some really tough guys. One of them that comes to mind would probably be Delane Lemire. He's, I believe he's 4-1, native kid with great striking, very good striking. His jiu-jitsu is very crisp as well. His wrestling isn't, you know, amazing, but it's up to par, and he's a really tough kid, and I was trying to get him on this card, but it didn't work out, and I'd love to see him on the card. He's a tough dude.
Dude, see, that's great. That's one of our favorite things is when we can open fans' eyes to some of the kids that are coming up with you, because obviously you've become that level. You know, you're like Lepaki said, you're one of the top two or three organizations in the world, and these kids training with you have got to get better being with you. And it's got to be nice in some aspects for you to see these kids grow along with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of younger guys there, and you know, some of them aren't even old enough to buy a beer. And yeah, they're in there every day at 11 o'clock, training as hard as they can and throwing down. And yeah, they're tough kids. They got a bright future ahead of them. As long as they stay on that horse, you know, don't give up. Well, you know, they got a lot of potential.
One last, dude, I got to ask, when you go up to the MFC this weekend, will your girl be coming with you? Is this a team only? Does she travel with you to a lot of your events?
No, she, I mean, she has to work, but also I wouldn't really want her up here. You know, nothing against her. I love her to death. She's an amazing girl, but, you know, I think that would just put a weird amount of pressure. I know Sam Alvey's fighting on the same card, and he has his girlfriend corner him, and she's friggin' pregnant. I was just like, I don't know about that. I'd mess with me too much, but no, she, you know, she obviously, if I wanted to her to, she'd come up, but no, she's just gonna stay home and watch from the Iron Horse where we work at.
Dude, how crazy is that Sam has his supermodel girlfriend as his corner? I mean, the first time I saw that, I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it's crazy. And she's in there, you know, she's in his face, and she's got this big pregnant belly. That's the thing that throws me off even more. Oh, my God.
You'd have to be really comfortable to let your girlfriend corner you and just berate you during a fight. And then when it's all over, you're like, thanks, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go to dinner. I'll be like, damn, get away from me, woman.
Yeah, he's a unique dude. I really like Sam. He's funny.
Now, before we run out of time, we want you to have a chance to give a shout-out to any sponsors. Make sure all your social media so fans can follow you. Any shout-out to anybody you want, man. Take this time. It's yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely like to thank my sponsors, Multiverse. I'm wearing their jacket out. They're, you know, they've been unbelievable. They've been supporting me, you know, more than I expected them to. Kimura Wear, I'm wearing their shorts out. They are an amazing company. If, you know, if you guys are looking for, or anybody listening is looking for training gear, look at Kimura. They make some excellent equipment. And then also Severity. I'll be wearing their hat out. They're great as well. They sponsored me before, and you know, these companies have helped me out a lot. My managers at Big Fight Management, Pat Wilson, Wade Hample, and Will Hammond have done so much for me. They have no idea. They've really helped me out a lot. And just a shout out to Dana Wagner. He's my corner. He came all the way up here, took time off work, took and helped corner me when nobody else could make it. My beautiful girlfriend Kara Reardon, she, you know, she's always there. It's always supportive for me. My parents, my mom, dad, sister, grandmas and grandpas, and then everybody who I train with. You know, they're the reason I'm progressing as far as I am. And without them, you know, I'd just be a guy shadow boxing in a gym somewhere. So yeah, thanks everyone. I love you guys and all the fans. Please hit me up on Twitter, Facebook. My Twitter account is at Jason Zentgraf, JasonZentGraf. Please tweet me anytime. I'm still getting used to Twitter, but yeah, I'll tweet you back. Don't worry. So yeah, to all the fans, I love you guys.
Are you over 100 followers yet? Because I know we were trying to get you there the other day.
I think I am now. Yeah, I think I probably got 100 or 101.
Okay, cool. And the folks out there, definitely follow him. You can find him. We'll tweet out his handle here in a little bit for everybody. If you haven't already seen it, we'll definitely get it out there. And before we wrap up, how nice is that jacket they set you up with? That's a sick little jacket, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I'll be wearing that out there. You know, might be a little uncomfortable, you know, all sweaty and stuff like that, but it's a really nice jacket. And, yeah, I appreciate everything Multiverse has done for me. So, yeah, that's great. It's really cool. They have zippers on the wrist. So, you know, on most shirts, you have to kind of rip the sleeve when you pull the shirt off with your gloves on. But these, you know, you can zip it down. You can pull the glove out, no problem. It's, it's awesome.
Sweet. Well, everybody, you know, we wish you the best of luck. I personally think that this is a victory for you to get, and it's on the way to getting into a bigger talk and a bigger match for hopefully a strap from the Maximum Fighting Championship soon down the road.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for as well.
Well, hey, enjoy the last little bit of free time you have before you got to put work on. We'll all be watching and cheering you on, brother.
Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Jason. Man, we appreciate it, brother.
All right. Later, guys.
May 10th, everybody, Action Television. If you can't make
Jason
it to the Edmonton
right
Shaw Conference Center on May 10th, you guys turn on Access TV. And do not forget, for those folks who want to catch the prelims, they will be on Facebook on Maximum Fighting Championships page.
Word to your mother!
Which is funny, because if you guys listened to his interview the other day, it's not something he's super happy about, but it's something he's doing for the fans.
What?
The stream. He's real nervous about blotchiness, any kind of drag or cutting out. You know, he's worried about the quality that fans are going to get from a stream versus a live television broadcast. You know, and he made valid points. You know, there have been issues in the past with every organization that streamed at some point. So I understand that. But for us fans, we'll get to watch the undercard before we go to Access Television to watch Maximum Fighting Championship True Grit. Number 37, folks.
Dude, this is going to be a sick-ass card, man. I mean, from the Treadwell versus Treadwell fight, which I wanted to ask Jason what he thought about that, but I totally we just got carried away with fun conversation there, all the way up to the new main event, my friend and Skippy's Anthony Berchek versus Ryan Benoit at the bantamweight division. They're going to step in and fill in for that dropped heavyweight fight. Then you've got Garrett in the back end versus Peter Neufeld. Paul Grambo and Alan Hope, I think, will be a good fight. Then you've also got independent MMA's own Alan Monroe. So I'm hoping that Vlad is at the fight tomorrow. I know that yesterday when I talked to him, when the news came down, he was kind of in shock. He was telling me that, you know, he was kind of wishing it was a dream. No, not a dream. He said, I hope this is a nightmare and I will wake up soon. So unfortunately, it wasn't a nightmare, but... You know, it is what it is. Oh, and our longtime friend, too, man, Makai Moromo and Curt Southern in a big-time rematch.
Yes. Yes, and I believe we'll be talking to Curt in a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully.
But right now we're trying to get a hold of Sam Alvey, I believe, and so folks deal with us for a second on that. I will tell you guys what, man. Maximum Fighting Championships, guys. Really, pay attention. If you guys don't follow this organization, get up and follow them, man. They've got great fighters. They put on some great events. You know, we've had some good friends that fought for that organization. We've seen some big names come through it. You know, we've heard the stories about fighters who travel 30 hours on a bus just to make an event to fight for Maximum Fighting Championships. It's a great organization with just getting bigger and bigger, and I love it. I love the fact that he puts on some great, great fights.
Dude, the whole thing, man, from the time the guys get there, dude, how many promoters actually drive to the airport, either them or their son, to meet the fighters?
Yeah, yeah, and big shout out to Pablo Diablo. Thanks for the love, brother. Dude. That's really great. I mean, obviously everybody knows that his son and his wife are his whole family is very involved in this organization and making this product even more successful with every event. And, you know, that's one of the things I want to touch with next time we talk to Mark about, you know, them focusing on that amateur league up there now, too. I find that really great for amateurs up there because, you know, it's a platform to get you where you need to be, so... And, you know, like you said, Maximum Fighting Championships is one of the top organizations in the world to fight for.
On the planet Earth.
On the planet Earth. Now, if you go to Mars, it's a different story.
Yeah, dude, up on Mars, they've got some wicked fucking organizations up there. That reminds me of a cool meme I saw. Like, you know how, like, they show you the crop circles and how they're all perfect? And then people try to blame aliens on it? So they showed, like, one of those pictures, and they're like, when aliens come to Earth, this is what they do. And they have, like, this all, like, symmetrical, you know, like, corn crop fucking shit going on. And then they go, when humans go to Mars, and you see these, like, lines that aren't even straight, and they're, like, all over the place. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Hey, while we're waiting, I figure I just got some great news. And I think maybe we should just drop this bomb. But let me make sure I get everything correct.
Because I hope it's good news, man. Yesterday I was getting enough news from scumbags that, man, I just, like, I was getting fed up, bro. The only good thing that happened to me yesterday was that I got to interview some kick-ass dudes from Australian Fighting Championship. And you can see that article will be posted in the next 24 hours. I want to thank Adam and Sean, the promoters from down there, for giving us here at Madhouse the opportunity to chat with them. And make sure you go to Epicenter TV about 2 o'clock in the morning Friday, and you can watch. But you can also, if you don't want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning Pacific Standard Time, later in the day when it's more convenient for you, you can go to Epicenter TV and purchase the pay-per-view and watch it at your own convenience.
That is sick. Now, I'm about to post something on Madhouse. But
Just tell everybody, bro.
I'm going to tell Carl right now because I know he loves this, but it looks like Jessica I to meet Karina Dammit in AAFS June 1st.
Yeah, that's old news, man. Come on.
How can that be
old
news?
I got that phone call last night, sucker.
Dude, look at when I posted this. 3 weeks ago, but I couldn't release it. But it's just not released.
Oh, yeah. See, here we go. Skippy being the topper again.
Hey, I know you're listening right now, buddy. I'd like you to send a message to Lepaki either on Facebook or Twitter right now. Tell him who the man is. Just put my name in there. Be like, bam, Skippy's not full of shit. Yeah, I know you're listening, buddy. Tell him I'm not full of shit. Boom. It's up. It's posted.
Dude, you were trying to tell me and Jeff about this like a couple weeks ago, and you kept going, Jessamyn Duke versus Karina Dam, and we were like, what the fuck? What are you talking about?
It's Jessica. I think it's a really interesting matchup for me. I like it. Obviously, a lot of the fans are out there are already going to assume how it's going to go, and it probably will go that way, but it's nice, you know, this is a veteran who has power to knock somebody out.
Now I'm getting fucking harassed by listeners, you fucking son of a bitch.
Hey, thanks, big shout out to my boy, you got my back, dude. Team High Crotch for life.
You just joined Team High Crotch.
No, I did not. Don't even start that shit.
Oh, hey, speaking of Team High Crotch, look who's with us, man.
Oh, that's messed up. That's Jeff. From Clinch Cuts the House Guard.
Chris, dude.
No, it's me. I learned how to call in.
I had to have Jeff.
Jeff is actually calling me. Jeff is probably actually calling me wondering, hey, what the hell are you doing, man? I thought I was helping you out, but I figured it out myself. So
oh,
Jeff,
yeah, you dial a number. Did you get hooked on phonics recently, learn to read?
You know, this guy's supposed to be like our media guru, our video, like, tech-savvy superstar. And here he is coming to my dumb ass going, How do I call in? The guy's got like 40 million YouTube views. He can't fucking call into a radio show on Skype. What the fuck?
Dumbass.
I know. It's crazy.
Hey, Chris.
Man.
So,
yeah.
Hey, bro. You out of all of us in the Four Horsemen, probably know Sam Alvey a little bit better. We're having difficulty reaching right now. What do you think about his fight this weekend, and how do you see that going?
Well, hey, you know how I am. I like a lot of fighters. I like Jay Silva, but I think this is going to be a first-round knockout by Sam Alvey. And the reason I say that is because, you know, his hands are devastating, and the kid just has fun with it. It doesn't seem like when he comes into a fight, he has a lot of pressure on him just because he has so much fun, you know? I mean, when you're laughing, you're having a good time, I mean, it's hard not to just go in there and perform like you want to. And I don't think the mental issue is anything for Sam Alvey. I think his last fight was good too, you know? I mean, it didn't seem like he really got off in that last fight, but Sam Alvey is a beast, you know, 11 KOs, 19 wins, you know, two submissions. The dude's a beast, and he's never lost by KO, and I don't see Jay Silva being able to do anything with that. I don't think he's going to be able to knock Sam Alvey out. Sam Alvey's going to come out strong, and that's a promise.
No, I thought his performance against Elvis was great. You know, I mean, he was on the wrong end of the decision, obviously. But, I mean, there's no doubt, dude, that Sam Alvey is one of the top middleweights walking around.
Yeah, dude's a beast. And I think when he was on the Ultimate Fighter, he tried to drop to 170, right?
Yeah, he had to do that at 170, which I really think was really detrimental to him.
Yeah, I think so, too, because I believe it was maybe his first fight at 170, actually. And to go into a house with guys that have been fighting at 170 and, you know, you're cutting all that weight, I just think that for your first time, that might be a little, you know, not the right idea. But, I mean, hey, look where he is now. He's fighting MSC. He's doing good. I mean, even that last fight, you know, that's nothing. And Jay Silva, I mean, he's a power puncher. You know, he has a submission over Kendall Grove, but I just don't see him getting it here against Sam Alvey. I mean,
and the other thing I think that you know, people don't really realize about the Tough House is it's not that you fight at 170, but it's that but the whole time you're there, you have to be at that 170 weight because you know you never know what day you're going to fight.
Hey, whoever's got their computer on, turn it off.
Put your headphones in. You know what I'm saying, Chris?
Yeah, is that better?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's better. But, I mean, you know, like, you know what I'm saying about you have to maintain that low weight. And for a guy of Alvey's size, that's got to be very, very detrimental because if you notice that the show went on, his performances, I'm not saying they got worse, but he wasn't as active and energetic because of that, you know, that long-term weight cut that you have to go through for the whole 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, you got to maintain a weight the whole time. And, you know, usually, you know, you cut weight, then you go, you know, you weigh in, and then you go, you know, eat some food, you know, get up there. I don't know how much the fighters were able to do that as much as they would normally. But, I mean, you know, for your first time at 170, I don't think the Ultimate Fighter is the way to go. But, I mean, hey, he did it. I thought he deserved a chance in the UFC. I personally thought that. But you know how it is, you know, and on to the next one. It's kind of
yeah, I mean, dude, you know, I mean, I definitely think, you know, when the opportunity for something like that comes along, you don't really have the time to pick what weight class it is. If you can, you know, I mean, obviously he's probably not going to try 155 or 145, but I bet Sam would tell us that if it would have been 205 or 170 or 185, he'd have rolled the dice either way.
Oh,
and that's
just
the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah, for sure. He's a fighter. That's what it is. I met him at Show Fight 20, man, and the dude is just, I mean, it's crazy because he was supposed to be, I think, one of the first fights, and they ended up having to move his fight till after all the other fights. So, because the TV time had Kendall Grove and Derek Brunson. So, he actually had to wait around. So, he was just sitting there watching the fights, enjoying the fights with his girlfriend or wife. I think it's his girlfriend. But, I mean, you know, it's crazy because she's his corner. And I don't know if you guys hit on this earlier, but she's his corner, and I mean, she knows what she knows her shit. I mean, she's shown that she's known her shit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be crazy to have my girlfriend in my corner with
would
me.
You
know
let would you let Bailey corner you on June 29th?
No. No, you know what? You know what I would do, though? You know who I would have corner me is my sister. And the reason why I say that is because no matter where that bitch is in the building, I can hear her. I can hear her no matter where she's at, man. Like, she's just that loud. My sister is that loud. I'm not a car bitch because she is my sister. But no, she's very, very loud. And through my whole fight, I can hear her. I even had to tell her to shut up. My first fight, in between rounds, I looked up at her and said, shut up. Because she was saying, like, my dad passed away when I was in high school. So, like, she's like, do it for your dad. Do it for your dad. I wasn't losing or anything. I mean, I wasn't getting my ass kicked or nothing, but She's just like, do it for dad the whole time. So in between the second and third round, I looked at her and I just said, shut up. I even think it's on camera, too. I'm just like, yo, shut up, please. But actually, in my first fight, I didn't even have corner men. I just picked two people out. I was like, yo, you guys want to corner me, man? I mean, there were coaches of other teams. So I was just like, hey, man, will you coach me or will you at least corner me in case I get cut? And that's kind of how the first fight happened.
Yeah, but you're just a scrapper, dude. You just like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you don't care about wins and losses, but you're just really in there for a good time.
No, honestly, I know this isn't a career for me at all. You know, my career is in the media aspect of MMA. And, you know, who knows? You know, maybe even the promotional aspect of MMA, which we do anyway. Like stuff like that. But, I mean, fighting is just something I like to do. And that's why I told Dave Jackson, hey, I'll fight the 4-0 dude. If that's who I have to fight, I'll do it. It might be crazy, but, you know, hey. If the guy has respect and he'll show up, I want to fight him. I don't want to fight somebody that's not going to show up. And, you know, that's just how I am.
Skippy, do you have anything for our good friend Chris Gregory?
Yes, Chris. I would like to know what's your opinion on Anderson Silva versus John Jones. I'm fucking with you.
Wow.
I'm just fucking with you, brother. Hey, Carl, I would like to apologize for slapping my penis on the video screen. I just thought it'd be funny.
Wow.
He was all, like, focused at work, so I wanted to make him laugh. So I just laid it across the camera for a second. And he's still laughing. I know all of a sudden
camera.
He's like, mute skip.
So you teabagged your computer, basically.
Yeah, basically. I just teabagged the computer with Carl's face right there.
Hey, so Chris, since you know the guest, will you do us the honor of introducing him, brother?
Yeah, man. Right now we got show fight veteran, Bellator veteran, tough veteran, Sam Alvey on the line. What's up, Sam Alvey?
Hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
Chilling, man. Chilling. It's nice to have you on MMA Madhouse Live, man. I watched you at Show Fight. I hung out with you for a little bit, man. You're a great dude to hang out with, and you're great for this sport, man. You have a good time no matter where you're at. Even if you're fighting, you know, you'll give an interview before your fight, after your fight. You don't care, man. You probably do an interview between rounds. That's just how you are.
You know what? If my corner person had let me, I would.
Hell yeah.
So how's everything going for this camp, brother?
Oh, everything couldn't be better. In great shape. It's going to be an easy weight cut. No injuries. Dan Henderson's got a fight coming up, too. So I've had all sorts of extra talent coming through the gym.
That's sweet. So, would you say that this camp's been as good or better than previous camps?
This camp was as good, if not better, than every other camp I've had. And you know what? I don't particularly camp. I just work out year-round. You know, I fight Friday night. I'll be back in the gym on Monday.
Dude, that's a good attitude. I mean, look, you know, you got to be ready. Obviously, a lot of you pros get short-term fights sometimes. It's nice to hear that. Now, with you basically trying to be prepared all the time, when it does come time for a camp for, you know, such an important event like, you know, MFC 37 True Grit, do you amp it up? Do you twist it a little bit more than normal? What do you do?
Gosh, you know what? I'm unique. I'm always amped up. Every day of every year, I train as if I've got to fight the next day. Well, I should say the next week. So the biggest difference when I have a camp or not is my diet. I start eating a little less, a little healthier. And that's the biggest difference. My cardio I might increase a little bit, but the training is just as good day to day.
So would you say that you getting in there with obviously Jay Silva coming up,
would you say that you find it interesting? Do you find it normal that fans are in general calling for you to finish this on your feet?
Everyone prefers a stand-up fight. Everyone prefers to see someone get knocked out over getting choked out. Both Jay and I have the ability to choke one another, but it's likely we're going to stand and try and knock each other out. And that's it's just a better fight. Everyone loves seeing it.
Now, a lot of us feel that you have the better hands. Do you, going into this fight, feel that you have the stand-up advantage?
You know, every fight I've ever been in, I thought I had the stand-up advantage. So to answer your question, yeah, I feel like I'm going to knock him out.
I love it.
So, Sam, I want to know, you have maybe the most unique corner person in the entire game. How did that come about?
Honestly, I was with her before I started fighting. If I said she was my corner, it started off as a free ticket in. And she actually decided to run with it. She started studying the sport more than I do. She trains as well, and all my game planning comes from her. She knows anything and everything about my opponent.
That is so crazy. I mean, that's got to be such a unique dynamic that you guys must have. I mean, the trust level, not only is it your girlfriend, but as your corner, has got to be through the roof.
Well, shoot, she's my wife now. But, yeah, I trust her more than anyone. She's never steered me wrong. She never will. Had I listened to her a little better, I would have beaten Elvis.
Now, do you corner her when she goes to modeling gigs? Like, do you carry the purse for her when she's doing that gig?
You know I do, but she's sick of me yelling, "Do Blue Steel!" I don't think it's quite as good.
It's always good when you can get a Zoolander reference in.
Oh, man. Well, you know, speaking of that, you know, for the fans out there who might be living under a rock, that was a decision loss. When you go back and look at it, do you see where maybe you lost the fight in the judges' eyes?
You know, every round was really close. To me, it kind of looked like I could have won any round, and, you know, he could have won any round. I think the biggest difference was I kept landing my jab, but I never followed it up. And that's actually, I was joking about not doing what she said. You know, between rounds, during every round, she was yelling, "Follow it up, do something else." And so I kept landing just too many single shots. Had I followed it up like I knew I needed to but refused to do, I think it would have been, the rounds would have been, you know, in my favor.
I agree. I felt like you didn't pull the trigger a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's never happened to me before, but, you know, Elvis was a stud. He capitalized on what I wasn't doing.
But you guys put on one hell of a performance, and if anybody hasn't seen the fight, they need to track it down because it was a really, really good fight.
Oh, it was awesome fight. I loved it.
Now, which one of your fights, Sam, is your favorite out of all your pro fights?
Out of all my pro fights, Elvis is getting close to the top. That was really an enjoyable fight. Amasu was a good fight, but you know, to this day, my favorite fight was probably, I was 4-0, going to become 5-0, and I fought a guy named Caleb Nelson, and I ended up losing that fight also by a split decision. But it was just, you know, he and I, we just went at it for 15 minutes. First round was all him, second round was all me, third round was split. It was just a hell of a fight from start to finish. So that's probably to this day still my favorite fight.
With you, obviously, your cardio seems to be a deciding factor in a lot of your fights. For amateur fighters out there listening and for other fighters, how important do you feel your cardio is compared to the rest of your game? Because obviously you've won some wars.
You know, I work my strength and conditioning coaches, they're at Dynamic Fitness in Temecula. and I've always had good conditioning, but they've made me have good conditioning and smart conditioning. If that makes any sense. I would recommend it's the most important part of a game. You have to know how to punch, but you've got to be able to punch for 15 minutes. I could have the world's greatest one punch, but that does nothing in an MMA fight. You've got to be able to do it over and over and over.
True. Very true. Now, you obviously, you've got a great fighter, honestly. People out there might look at the record and see that you have a much substantially better record than Jay Silva, but in no way, shape, or form do I feel, or probably anybody on the panel, and I feel that you're looking past Jay. But you have to say someone of you is looking past him to know that this win does mean a lot. It will push you back where you need to be.
You know what? I technically have a better record than Jay Silva, but he's fought in the UFC. He's fought some of the absolute best in the world. I've had some wars, too, with arguably the best in the world, but it's the one platform I've not fought yet is the UFC, and he has. So I'm not looking past him. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to treat him like he's the Anderson Silva of the world. I've got to beat him. I got to prove to everyone that I belong ranked in the greatest of the world.
Is it hard to not take that proving type mentality into the cage so that you don't have that added pressure?
I fight because I love fighting. You'll never find a more laid back fighter than me. I'm goofing around in the locker room, warming up, just having a good time, and then I get to go out, and my job is what I absolutely love doing. I never feel any pressure going into a fight. I want to win it, and I'm going to win it, but the actual, get sick in my stomach a little bit or get the butterflies, it just never comes. I like doing it too much.
Yo, Sam, Chris Gregory from MMA Topics. I got to throw it out of MMA. Yo, I got to ask.
Did you say you can talk about your website when we had you on?
That's right. That's how I do it. Yo, hey, listen, I got to ask you a different question here. What is your favorite cartoon character of all time?
Goku. Hands down, it's Goku. Dragon Ball Z. All four Ninja Turtles and Homer Simpson are on the list, but Goku's number one.
My son would agree, 100%.
Where do you put Hong Kong Phooey at, Sam?
Oh.
Hong Kong Phooey, he's way down on the list. You have a true martial arts expert like Goku or the Ninja Turtles or, shoot, even Jackie Chan. That was a fantastic cartoon. You can't be putting no Kung Fong Hong Kong Phooey in there.
Oh yeah. Man, Hong Kong Phooey was a baller, dude.
That's not even in the top 25, Lapati. Sorry.
Would not Gregory. Hong Kong Phooey be the same as like the Chinese version of Mr. Magoo?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that.
See, look at that. It's Mr. Magoo that's played out, dude. I like the Dragon Ball Z. That's a good pick. It's solid. It's relevant. People know what it is.
Do you guys play Pokemon, too?
It's funny you say that. I just got Pokemon Black 2 last night. Well, it was my birthday on Monday, so it was a gift. I've been playing it nonstop. You've got a second. I've got a story for you about Pokemon.
Go for it, man. Well, first, hey, man, happy birthday, Sam. Happy late birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. My wife, after she won her show, she moved to New York. So I went out there, and it was about a week trip. And while we were out there, I had to go, with my Pokemon to the Nintendo Tower. So I went there, and it was just filled with these little kids, little Asian kids, little white kids, little everything. And they just slaughtered me. I mean, every battle I had, they destroyed me. And it was like, oh, I gotta go back home and refit my life a little bit. So I went and I collected, I got back to Wisconsin, back in school and training. I went and picked up every Pokemon game I could, and I started collecting them all. And I raised them and did this. And by the end of the summer, I went back to New York, and I had the unbeatable team. I had all of them were like level 99s, just stacked. I crushed every little kid in that store. I went to
relentless. And then I bragged about it afterwards.
He's all, I got you, sucker. Payback.
See, now that just doesn't even seem like you. I mean, you know, we've all seen your personality in the cage, win or lose. It's like you just always are smiling, man. I can't imagine you, like, having to have this vendetta against some little elementary students over some Pokemon.
It was a summer-long thing. I mean, every second I wasn't training or studying, I was playing Pokemon because I had to get my revenge. And
see,
I got
that's a true champion. That's a true champion right there. Whether it's fighting six-year-olds at a card game or fighting 30-year-old men in a cage, you're like, I'm going to win, period. I don't have prisoners.
I'm going to be honest. I think the six-year-olds were punking him, and he's trying to act tough right now. You know he was in Toys R Us getting punked on a little chair. You can just see it right now.
So
myself and listeners,
I choose you.
Sam, you need to get Pokemon as a sponsor. Be the first like guy to walk in the MFC with a Pokemon sponsorship.
Oh, I absolutely would. If you know somebody, let me know.
You could have it like when Caveman Rickles walked out with the dinosaur, you could have a Pokemon or Pikachu in front of you, or like Charizard or something. Now, big old.
I would do it. Yeah,
you
I would do it.
You know, you would be like the next Bob Sapp in Japan if you did that.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more. I would love to walk out dressed like a Charizard or something.
See, I think if you did that, you would have to have Lenny Hart do your walkout, though.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I've walked out before as the full Justice League, where me and I had all my corners dressed up with me, and I came out as Superman with everyone sprawled out behind me.
How much more fun does it make the fight when you can kind of play around with the entrance, where you can really get the crowd like really jacked up?
Oh, I love it. I love it, and that's why I love fighting for the MFC. They've got some of the best fans I've ever fought for. My last fight, they were just jazzed for the fight. They were on their feet from start to finish. You know, I fight this Friday for the MFC and Edmonton, and I'd recommend everyone should come out and see the show because it's just the fans make the show, and the MFC has some of the best fans I've ever fought in front of.
Now, I love it, and you know, with that, like you said, the fans being involved. Does that, like, when you're coming down and you've got a group of fans like the MFC fans who are just hooting and hollering and screaming, whether it's good or bad, booing or cheering, how much does that amp you up right before the fight?
Oh, it amps me up. I love it. I thrive on it. You know, those they're there to see me do what I do best. And I always try and give them a good show. I'll never be one to. And, you know, the worst fight I think I've ever had was in The Ultimate Fighter when there were no fans. There was no one watching. It was just me underweight and dehydrated fighting. You'll never see a performance like that out of me when it's live, when the audience is there cheering.
Sam, you actually touched on something we were talking about earlier. When you ventured down to 170, we didn't really actually necessarily think that the cut to 170 was that detrimental to you. It was more the length of time that you had to maintain that cut. And we were kind of wondering, how high were you able to get up on your regular, on your walking weight when you weren't fighting during the show?
Well, the first time I made weight, you know, it was 40 pounds in 29 days I cut. But I did it, so I made the 170. The next day, I was 198. I put on close to 30 pounds overnight. And then 6 days later, I was back down to 170, and that's where I was just at. I didn't have the recovery like I needed, like I thought I did.
Yeah, see, there's so much more that goes into that show that the fans aren't really aware of. It's just like they just kind of think you got to show up and you fight and yada, yada, yada. But when you're a normal 185er who probably walks about 210, 215, I'm assuming, and to make that cut, you know, is just incredible.
It is. And, you know, the cut was tough, but doing it 2 weeks in a row was what was really hard. It was too much. And we had actually, I talked to the coaches on the show, and that's what we figured, get it out of the way, you know, we'll then will have more time to actually lose weight a little healthier for the last two fights. But I didn't make this for the first fight, so it was a bad call on my part.
Now, Sam, there's a really interesting fight on this card, brother versus brother. What do you think about that?
I love it. You know what? It's a sport, and they're two athletes that if they were to become the best in the world, they're going to have to go through each other one way or another. Might as well do it now. I don't think there's anything wrong with a brother fighting a brother. It's just a sport. They'll go back to loving each other after 15 minutes.
Would you do me a favor, and would you, send that in an email to Chris Gregory so he understands professional at your high level understands the fact that sometimes you got to fight teammates and family and friends to succeed in the business you're trying to be the best in the world at?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I can understand if a brother wouldn't want to fight a brother, but as long as both of them want to, I don't see what's wrong with it. And I'll bet you it's going to be a great fight, too. That's another reason everyone that can hear my voice should come and watch this fight. These are two guys that were born and raised together. They know each other like the back of each other's hands, and they get to go head-to-head. I bet
their mom
really
is
hoping
glad it's not happening in her kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm just curious, your opinion, how great would it be for you to whoop your brother on a national stage like the MSG? Could you imagine the bragging rights that they've given?
I don't know if I'd win. If you met my brother, I don't know if I'd win. I'm the cage fighter, but he's my little brother, but he's way bigger than me.
Now, does he train, Sam?
No, he has had one fight a couple years ago, but he was always more of a football player. He was a defensive football player, so he got angry when he fought.
Now, you're originally from Wisconsin, so are you a big Badgers fan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Badgers are fantastic. I've actually got a pair of workout shorts that are all Badger themed.
And then, do you drink Leinekugels in celebration of your victories?
I would buy everyone else a Leinekugel, but I actually don't drink. It's been years since I've had anything.
Now, have you ever got a chance to go up to the university and maybe grapple with the wrestling team?
No, not in Wisconsin, but Jake Varner was just in, he's the Olympic gold medalist. He was just in Quest for a week last week. So I got to roll with the American Olympic gold medalist.
That's cool.
He's the nicest guy you'd ever meet. And he out-wrestled me like it was, wrestling a child. It was ridiculous.
Do you sit there thinking to yourself, I'm just going to punch this guy the next time he shoots me on his own way?
Yeah, he's the guy, I don't want to fight him anytime soon. He's the guy where I'm going to make sure my conditioning is good enough to go 15 minutes because I'm going to be defending a shot for 15 minutes.
Well, Sam, I know, we ran into a little trouble getting you at first, and I know that it's fight week, Maximum Fighting Championship 37, True Grit. You're ready to go there. You're ready to lay a whooping down. For all the fans out there, all your sponsors, any social media, take the next few minutes and do your shout-outs, brother.
Well, I got to first off say, I'm so grateful for my wife, McKee Sullivan. I couldn't do this without her. Then along with her, I've got my team, Team Quest. It's the best team in the world. If you're a fighter thinking about becoming a fighter, come work with us. We're in Temecula, California. The weather's always nice. And we're about to open a 27,000-square-foot training facility. I got to thank my sponsors, Down to Scrap. They're a clothing sponsor, and they make one of the best mouth guards in the business. And it's very affordable, too. You should look them up. And then, again, if anyone wants to contact me, ask me any questions, hit me up on Twitter. My Twitter's @SmilinSam. Hit me up. I try and get back to everyone. Tell me you love me or hate me, but I'll get back to you.
And, Sam, I want to tell you a big shout-out to the Team Quest organization. I don't know if you know this, but this weekend Team Quest Thailand whooped some ass. And I actually posted some of the fight videos last night. It's crazy. I mean, whatever location in the world, Team Quest seems to be producing just
They are. We've got two of them in our gym. Well, three of them in our gym right now. Jesse Taylor owns every non-UFC title in the world. Tarek Saffredine is the reigning Strikeforce champion. And then Dan Henderson is, I mean, Dan Henderson's Dan Henderson, pound for pound best in the world.
And Jesse just had a great performance this weekend getting the early finish over at Cage Warriors there in Scotland. It was a great fight.
Yeah. Jesse's incredible. I mean, the dude's hardworking. He's one of the best wrestlers in MMA. And it's more than just wrestling. It's like grappling. He's very MMA style of grappling. But he's gonna hold the title until he doesn't want it anymore.
I love it. Well, Sam, we all from Madhouse and Chris Gregory from whatever that site was, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Man, we look forward to watching you on Access TV. For fans around the world, you can watch him on TV. Man, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And again, tune in this Friday night on AXS TV.
Oh, we definitely will be, man. And you have a wonderful night, brother. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You too.
Carl, pay some bills. Boys,
hold on. Wait. I've got a fan question. It's to Chris Gregory of MMA Topics.
Okay.
Chris Gregory, this person would like to know if you would be willing to video record yourself doing the truffle shuffle.
No.
If they put a monetary value on it, would it need to have three numbers before the decimal point or two?
Three.
But less than four?
Hell, I'll take four. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying that you would video record yourself doing the truffle shuffle for, say, $103?
I would not only do the truffle shuffle, but I will have several people behind me doing the truffle shuffle for that much. For even, fuck, I do
it. Could we get your wife and kids to do it behind you? Would you do it with your wife and all seven of your children? Well, I mean, look, I know that you can't tell your wife about the other three, but you can just say they're here for the day.
You're just borrowing them.
Yeah, you're just borrowing them.
Bailey's going to be calling us all here in a bit. What do you mean these other three children? What do you mean? Where are these other three children coming from?
Hey, the Foxy, Chris, both you guys, take the bills, Carl.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Out of the sea, a holocaust, a house, get you out the mouth. want to try me.
Everybody, please, 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 triple please, go check out all our sponsors. Clench Custom Mouthguards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, Central Oregon Trike, Vision Smoke Shop, Draco Impact Armor, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, The Hype Bike Store, NeverTap.ca, Brawl Base, and 24 in LV.
Number one MMA event in the country comes to the City of Champions. Maximum Fighting 37 True Grit Live, May 10th from the Shaw Conference Center, with the MFC World Heavyweight Championships on the line, when Albanian Rama meets American Barnett and local standouts Luke Harris, Mukai Maromo, and Garrett Nybakken. And the first time in MMA history, brother versus brother, Treadwell versus Treadwell. And the only place to get tickets at Ticketmaster.ca.
Are we back?
Yes, guys, we are back.
Okay, hey, dude, I just got, this story just got emailed to me, dude. And I want to thank all the inmates in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, for doing this. On May 1st, they arrested this asshole for killing his girlfriend and her 8-year-old son. And when he got put into Gen Pop, they beat the crap out of him. It's unfortunate the guards had to do their job probably and stop it, or maybe we wouldn't have to worry about wasting our tax dollars on a fucking trial with this idiot.
You know what? I think they did do their job by taking a little bit longer to stop it.
We can only hope, man. We can only hope. But a big shout out to all the inmates there in Paul's Valley. You know, whatever you did on the streets is insignificant right now. Just keep making that guy's life a living hell. I mean, isn't it funny the code of ethics that even happens inside of a penitentiary, where, you know, these kind of scumbags are scumbags even more so with those guys, because those are the people that really don't give two shades of crap about, you know, what people think about them or what trouble they get into, but they still have that moral code where they're like, dude, what are you doing messing around, you know, killing an 8-year-old kid and a woman for?
Man, I don't even watch the news for that reason. It's depressing and it's, yeah. I leave my news reading up to Facebook and you and Dallas Browning. Which, God, you know what kind of news I'm getting. Jeez.
LeBron, can you
help me out and tell me what's this news you're talking about? I didn't know anything other than MMA existed. That's the only thing I ever watched.
Well, buddy, if you follow me on Facebook, Skippy, if you respected me enough to follow me on Facebook, you could get educated Chris Gregory.
Straight up, I do, and you know what? I'm going to give you a heads up and a big shout out, everybody. Bitcoin, thank you, Apaki. Eye opening shit, bro.
Fuck you, hey. And your fucking Bitcoin, you son of a bitch.
Dude, that was great stuff, man. I can't believe I never knew about that. And hey, we'll get back to that later. Let's quit screwing around. Let's bring on the man himself, Kurt Southern. How you doing tonight, brother? Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're out with Lapaki, Skippy, and Chris Gregory from MMATopics.net.
Good. I'm great. How are you guys?
Living it up, man. We know it's the tail end of the week, weight cutting, all that. So we thank you for taking out the time tonight to come kick it with us crazy guys. How's everything going for this camp?
Great. I'm feeling good. All the training's done. Just got to make weight and ready to go.
How far are you looking right now?
I'm probably in around 8 pounds-ish.
Oh, perfect.
Somewhere in there.
Perfect.
Yeah, not too bad. I'll make it.
Well, it's coming up. Maximum Grit, MFC 37.
True Grit, bro. True Grit, homie.
What did I say? Maximum Grit? Sorry.
Yeah. The same sandpaper. It's not sandpaper.
Maximum Fighting Championship. True Grit. This is a chance for you to grab back, get back in that win column. You're doing great. It's a rematch. How do you feel about the rematch?
I feel good about it. I won the last fight, so my confidence is pretty high that I can do it again, I know we both improved in different areas, but I think I still have the potential to beat him the same way.
True.
How frustrating was the fight with Yonatis? I mean, you were winning the whole fight, just happened to get caught there in the third round. Was there any hangover from that type of a loss?
Yeah, it was frustrating. I mean, to win a fight for the first 11 minutes and then lose to a submission, which actually was a little controversial because he reached into my glove and held onto my glove to actually get the arm bar, so that stings a little bit too. So I was pretty happy with the rest of the fight and the rest of my performance, so try to take away as much positive as I can and just move on, live to fight another day.
Was it a good confidence booster to be able to grapple with somebody? I mean, Yonatis is a world-class grappler, and to have the control that you had of the fight, that had to actually be a real positive that you walked away with, knowing, man, that, that no matter who you're in there with, it's going to be really hard for anybody to out-grapple you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and my fight before that, which was a long time ago, but it was against a guy, George Brito, who is also a world-renowned grappler and black belt, and he's won, pretty decorated, won lots of world tournaments and whatnot, so I am confident with my grappling and just maybe stay away from making a few mental errors and getting caught in subs, but I'm always confident in my grappling. That is my, my wrestling and my grappling ability is my strength, and now I've won most of my fights, so.
Now, what was it like when you went back and fought at Ringside MMA? That's one of my I'm a big fan of the scene there in Quebec, even though I live out here in Oregon. And I like Ringside. What was that experience like? And was like, they've kind of modified their rule set in that province compared to some of the other provinces?
I'm not sure what the rule differences are there. As far as I remember, it was pretty much the same.
Division where they all use the puffy boxing gloves and the shin guards and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. My fight was just a regular MMA fight there for Ringside. I fought Martin Grandma, That's the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was good. I mean, going over to Quebec to fight the hometown guy was it was a different experience. I got booed pretty severely, which I for some reason wasn't expecting that much of a hatred towards me, but it was fine. I used it and ended up subbing him real quick in the first round, and he was a pretty well-known guy in Quebec, and he had fought Sam Stout a couple of times. They had sort of a little rivalry going, and so beating him was a good confidence booster for me, and I think that was a big fight that showed a lot of Canada anyway that I was a legitimate fighter. So that was cool.
Having this be your second time fighting for the MFC, do you feel a little bit more comfortable knowing the routine and working with them? Is any of that stress taken off you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anytime you do anything more than once or repetitively, you get more comfortable with it. So, but the guys at the MFC have been really great. They run a really organized, really good show, and really I don't really have to do anything but come in and make weight and do my job. So, you know, they have all the transportation organized and everything is all good to go. Weigh-ins are right close to the hotel, so it's good. Yeah, I've been really happy with them.
Yeah, and with their television deal on Access spans to yours from not just, you know, in Canada but from around the world. How much do you like that aspect?
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, you can't, as a fighter, getting your name out there is half the battle, you know, getting people to know who you are, because in the end it's a draw, it's a business, and if more people know you, more people are going to come watch you fight. You know, the more you can draw, the more you're worth, right? So that's half of the value in MMA. So getting my name out there, if, you know, maybe somewhere down the road there's an opportunity to fight somewhere else because someone saw me on HDNet, you know, that's awesome.
So, look, I got to ask you, with obviously your popularity growing more and more and more, especially now that you're fighting for the Maximum Fighting Championships, what's the coolest location outside of North America that you've gotten maybe a friend or a tweet request or follower from?
I'm maybe Brazil, I guess. I don't really know where the people are. Well, a lot of people from the States, for sure. But as far as overseas, yeah, not that many people. I think Brazil's maybe the furthest away someone that I've got, as far as I know.
Now, do you find that interesting that you're getting fans in countries like Brazil to follow you? I mean, I know away from the fight, you know, you get to sit back and, you know, and enjoy what you've been doing in your career. So, is that something that you find really cool as an aspect of what you've done, is to have followers in places like Brazil?
Yeah, it's cool. It's, I don't know, a little surreal, I guess. It's, you know, that people all over the world kind of know who you are a little bit, so it's different, you know. Just a kid from Saskatoon, you know, just doing something I love, so.
What else do you love, Kurt? I mean, you know, obviously you like to get in there and beat people up for a paycheck, but when you're not beating people up, what's some of the things that Kurt Southern does for fun?
You know, I'm pretty basic. I like to hang out with my friends and family. I like other sports. I actually joined a slow pitch league this year, so I might play a little bit of slow pitch this summer. But I have two dogs that I spend a lot of time with, and my fiance Amber, and between fighting and training and my family and friends, that's about it.
So now, do you find that in slow pitch softball, chicks dig the long ball?
You bet, of course. Actually, I haven't played since I started training MMA. This will be the first time I've played in about 7 years, so it'll be interesting.
So how nice is it, though, to be able to maybe step back and enjoy something like that again?
It's good. I mean, it just so happened it worked, even with if I'm training for a fight, the games are on Friday nights, and I don't know, it just works out for me this year. I might you know, if something comes up, then I might not be able to play. It's not a big deal, not like a full-time commitment or anything. It's just a once-a-week softball game, you know. So, but, yeah, I mean, any chance I get that I can relax and hang out with my friends and have a little fun, that's, you know, that's a good thing.
Now, will the team be taking off this Friday night and heading to the pub to enjoy some Maximum Fighting Championship and Kurt Southern fighting?
We haven't. Our league doesn't start till next Friday, so it worked out perfectly.
That's
probably
great.
Yeah.
So what's funny is you're going to come back to the first game, and all these people are going to run up and want autographs.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Actually, it's funny where I'm from in Saskatoon. SaskTel, the cable company, they're the only place in Canada that actually has Access TV. Otherwise, it's all in the States. So people from my hometown actually get to watch me.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, are they planning any watch parties there in Saskatoon for you?
No, not really. Some of my family's coming. Some of my friends are all getting together to watch it, but nothing major.
Now, will they get wild and crazy out of hand? Will there be Molson Ice at the party with your friends, do you think?
Molson Ice? I don't know. Someone might get iced. I'm not too sure.
Well, we just assume every Canadian, that's all they drink. So
yeah,
we could be wrong, but that's all our boss drinks.
That's all, excuse me?
That's all our boss, Carl, drinks. He's from, where in Canada, Carl? I always forget.
Timbuktu, Northwest Territory.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Well, that bearded guy with the bear walking down the street, that's Carl.
Oh, yeah, bearded Carl.
Sometimes he drives a snowmobile around, though. Do you guys have that problem in Saskatoon?
You have to be more specific. What color is it?
It's
green?
Leopard print.
It's leopard print.
Oh, okay.
He was like, that guy just got real uncool, bearded Carl.
Carl, tell Kurt where you live at.
I'm in Kaslow, British Columbia.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's nice out here.
Yeah. I bet.
Carl, have you ever been to where he's at?
I have not, no. Perhaps one day, but no, I haven't ventured that far into the prairies.
No. Yeah, not a whole lot in the prairies. Saskatoon's a nice city, but driving there's not the nicest. A lot of farm fields.
I heard it's like driving through Kansas.
Yeah, probably. I've been to Nebraska. It's a lot like Nebraska.
Yep, that's what Kansas is like. So flat you could roll a bowling ball from one side of the state to the other and it would never stop.
So are you telling me that your football program up there sucks like in Nebraska?
We're okay as far as Canadian football goes.
Do you guys have the Rough Riders, right?
Yeah. They're hit or miss.
Now, are they even anywhere? Okay, now, how far apart is the gap between hockey and football in Canada?
Well, hockey's definitely bigger, for sure. Football would be, maybe the second sport as far as popularity, I guess.
With MMA making a big charge?
Yeah, MMA, yeah, you could throw MMA in there too, probably.
Now, what got you into the sport originally?
I started off as a wrestler, you know, like a lot of guys. I wrestled since I was 8 years old and wrestled up into university a little bit with the U of S. And I kind of quit wrestling a couple years into my university career because I, didn't really want to go to school anymore. I didn't really like the school part of it, so I stopped and worked for a while, and after a couple of years of just working and sort of partying, I kind of missed competing, so I started training MMA, and about 5 months later, I had my first fight, and that was about that.
Now, I got to ask you, what do you see a big difference between wrestling, where you grew up in wrestling, maybe in the Midwest in the United States?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you see a big difference in maybe, you know, wrestling programs and in the athletes here in America versus the wrestlers in Canada and the way you guys develop?
A little bit. I mean, there's definitely more, like, I think the wrestling is obviously more intense in the States because you got more people, more competitive, and, like, the NCAA championships is a big deal. But you guys do folk style, where here in Canada we don't do any folk style wrestling. It's all freestyle, so that probably makes a difference in how guys are. So I think folk style's a little better at holding guys down, and freestyle's a little bit more takedown based. So pros and cons to both, but the American wrestling system is, you know, better than the Canadian system as far as it's produced a lot more Olympic level athletes and medalists and stuff, but we still have a lot of good guys here too to wrestle with. So,
and are you still at Alliance, Kurt?
Yeah.
Now, Skippy asked Jason Zentgraff this question earlier, and I'm going to steal it right out of his back pocket because I know he's getting ready to ask it, so I'm just going to cut the line here. But if MFC 45 is 8 shows away, what young guy at Alliance would you want the fans to keep their eyes and ears peeled for that may be on that card?
I'm going to say Daniel Mark. He's a young bantamweight. He's 3-1, and he's, he's been looking for a fight for the last, I don't know, year or so, and he's having a lot of trouble because no one really wants to fight him because he's, you know, and he's only 3-1, but he's already scaring guys away. So, you know, maybe however long a year from now, hopefully he's making his way up in the MFC or somewhere.
I'm not sure how much you get to work with a guy like that, but how do you help another fighter overcome the fact that, you know, guys are like, you know, they offer people to fight him and it's a constant no train? Oh, no, we don't want to fight this guy. We don't want to fight this guy. I mean, at what point do these guys all need to look at themselves and be like, why are you here then?
Yeah, no, and we have a lot of trouble with that from our gym because there's no MMA in our city. So we always have to travel, and if there's no local guy willing to fight us most of the time on the local card, then we're out of luck. But they'll find the local guy, somebody who's, you know, who they know they can beat, right? But they don't want to fight somebody who's a tough fight. So that's happened a lot to a lot of our guys from our gym over the years, and you just got to keep hope and keep training, and eventually something will happen. You know, until you get to the upper, higher levels where, you know, you make a little name for yourself and then promoters are more willing to bring you in and maybe bring in another guy from out of town and you, so. But it takes a while to build that, so it can be frustrating.
Since we're stealing questions, Labaki, going through your history of fights, pro,
you're a bastard.
Pro or amateur, what was your favorite fight and why?
My favorite fight, I guess my fight with George Brito was a really good fight because it was a fight where I got to stand a lot and I dropped him a couple of times and I hung in there against the World Jiu-Jitsu, you know, black belt, and I just had a lot of fun in there, and it showed a good well-rounded skill from me. So,
and that card, for any fans out there, that was one great card for fans to be at, to not only see you but see some other guys who've obviously gone on or have great names. I mean, Jordan Mean versus Zamorskis for the headliner was, for a fan, that's, you know, even a fighter like yourself, that's got to be cool to be on that same card.
Oh, it was, too. And I was earlier, I was fourth fight or something, too. So after my fight, I got to sit back and watch all these awesome fights afterwards, too. So, and Jordan Mean, I've got to see him fight a few times. We've kind of, you know, he's came up the ranks and in the Canadian system. So, it's good to see him doing well now. I mean, last fight was a little disappointing, but...
You know, while earlier you did mention that, you know, maybe the American wrestling system is a little bit better than what you guys have in Canada, the Canadians are really putting their stamp on the MMA world. And is that just because you guys have such a diverse places to train at, or what do you think is helping with the, lead the charge in that area?
I don't know. I mean, I think just the sheer popularity of the sport here breeds you know a lot of interest in it. So when there's interest in all different cities, then that means there's a lot of people that are training, and that means a lot of people are getting good, you know. So I don't know why. Obviously I think GSP has a huge role in that, you know, people seeing a Canadian in the UFC who's the best in the world. You know, it makes us all feel like, hey, well, if he can do it, I can do it, or, you know. So I think having him as a role model for Canadians and just makes it good for everybody. So,
do you think that the ability that for the country itself to embrace kickboxing and Thai fighting previous to MMA, unlike America, made it an easier transition as in the popularity?
Yeah, that too. I really wasn't aware of that, but. That definitely would have an impact for sure.
Well, yeah, you guys,
there are
definitely
a lot of good strikers.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there are a lot of good strikers that come out of here from, and there is a lot of good kickboxing gyms in Canada. So that definitely helps.
Yeah,
I think you mentioned one of the guys earlier when you were talking about Sam Stout. I mean, I remember when Sam first came in, his boxing pedigree, and I'm not to take anything away from it now, but his boxing pedigree was phenomenal, and I really thought he would be a guy that maybe had a chance to dominate that division. It was just unfortunate his grappling always kind of seemed to be his Achilles heel. But
Yeah, that's what made him famous. You go in there and bang, and, yeah, he just kind of stuck to his guns maybe and didn't evolve as much as he should have, but he seems to, you know, after a few losses, he's starting to pick up his wrestling and grappling, I think, a lot. So he's trying, right?
Well, I mean, hey, dude, he's survived the test of time. And, you know, I think that's one of the greater things to say about an MMA fighter. I think that a lot of times people put a lot more weight on being the champion, you know, and then the rest of the guys don't really get the credit they deserve. But Sam's been with that organization, I want to say, since like, 04, 05-ish, I think, is when I was first walking, maybe even 03. I don't know. A really long time, man.
Yeah, it's not easy to stay at the top level when you're there, you know. I mean, getting there isn't the hardest part. It's staying there and being successful. So it's if you can make a career out of it, you're doing something right, even if you're not the champ, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're doing what you love.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And now the MFC is providing you with that opportunity to chase your dream on the biggest stage in Canada, and as Skippy and I say regularly, one of the top two or three shows on planet Earth. How nice is that to have an organization like that in your home country?
Well, it's perfect for me right now. You know, I'm just trying to build a good name for myself and make exciting fights and go out there and perform and try to evolve as a fighter, and fighting at the highest level, you know, that's the best way to improve and show what you're made of. So it's perfect.
Well, you know, I know that you got to get ready. It's right around the corner. The fans are going to get to see you weigh in at the Edmonton Shaw Conference Center. And then, bam, you're going to be on Access Television for all us fans around the world to watch and support you. You got any shout-outs, social media, gems, sponsors, whatever you want, brother, you take your time, go for it.
Just my sponsor contract killer. They're hooking me up with some sweet gear, and all the guys at Alliance Martial Arts, my gym, and just thanks to the MFC, Mark Pavlich, for having me on, and Access TV. Yeah, that's about it. Ready to rock.
Oh, dude, well, we're super excited to see you get in there. Man, we wish you the best of luck, brother. We'll all be watching and cheering you on, man. And you have a wonderful night.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kurt.
Anytime.
All right. Bye.
Man,
everybody,
cool
that was Kurt the Hurt Southern. Oh, hell yeah, dude. I mean, it sounds like they're having a pretty good time up there. You know what? Ironically, though, I got his last fight correct. Third round submission. So strange.
Dude, you know, it's great to hear that he said after his fight, because he fought so early on that card, that he sat back and watched, you know, Remy and Luigi and Zamorcus and Jordan and all them boys. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, once again, a lot of fighters are fans too, you know.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, I mean, you know, it's so silly, you know. So often we hear about people that are like, well, I never get to an event on time. I just show up for, like, the last couple fights. It's like, why? Well, I mean, dude, I don't know how many times the opening fight is the best fight of the fucking night.
Dude, you want to hear it? Check this out. You said that. How much, dude, I know you didn't know this. Opening fight of the night, how do you think it ended?
On what card?
On the card that Kurt Southern fought George Brito at. The one we obviously saw with Jordan.
Oh, score?
Dude,
the first
KO
fight
slam.
At 4-1, I want to say it was a three-round split decision.
KO slam in the second round.
Man, that's so long
fight,
ago. I can't remember that far.
The second fight was a KO in the second round. Third fight, a decision. You know, I mean, dude, if you miss the undercard, you just miss some great fights because, you know, Kurt Southern, George Brito in a war, a fight that he said was one of his favorites. KO slam, that's why you got to get out there early and support the whole event and all the fighters on it.
Yeah, and that card was stacked, dude. That's not the card, though, that had Horodesky on it, but I think that was maybe score 2 or 3 where Horodesky fought. But, you know, he's a regular up there, and it's just, you know, it's like we say, man, go check out these small cars because you're going to get to see these dudes for hella fucking cheap.
Yep.
And there's nothing like a night of fights, man. You know, like we get, you know, people always ask me all the time, don't you get tired of going to the fights? I'm like, hell no. No two cards are the same.
Oh, right? Dude, I mean, look, I'll be honest, one of the coolest cards I ever went to still is that sports fight deal from King Quest out at the fairgrounds during the biker rally. 8 fights, 8 finishes. It was an exciting night of fights, man. I mean, these boys came to leave it all in the ring that night. It was just fucking fantastic.
Well, let's be honest, Skippy. Even if there weren't any fights, you'd have been at the biker rally anyway.
I would have been.
And you'd probably saw 8 fights at the biker rally instead of in the cage.
That's probably true. That's the first time, you know what? That's the first time I ever met Goliath, Darren O'Donnell. And I went over to interview him, and I mean, like, dude, this is huge, huge dude, young kid, you know, all these titles hanging around him. And he was the most soft-spoken, like, polite guy I think I've ever met, dude. It just tripped me out. I'll never forget that.
Dude, that's what always trips me out about Zoe, man. Every time I interview that guy, I'm like, dude, will you get excited or something? Like, tell some shit. It's okay.
You need to interview him in a cage while Eddie's working him with punches. You'll probably get the greatest interview ever.
I think that I'm going to interview Dave Corshane one night with the GoPro glasses on during a grappling match. Me versus the Washington Decade Wrestler of the Year. Wrestler of the Decade. I can't even talk right now. Dave's always here, man. And me and Dave Corshane, I'm going to be his warm-up for his XFC contract. I'm going to put him through the test, give him the rigors. And I can't wait till Sunday because I'm going to hear about this all night long now. He'll probably, like, try and kill me on Sunday.
Hey, can I'd like to make an announcement for everybody listening. If you were part of the Fight Finder group, and I post a fight that they're looking for pros or amateurs. And at the end of it, I put contacts for more information. That does not mean to start asking me 50 effing questions. God, contact the people. That's why I put the information there. It says contact Billy Donovan. It doesn't say contact Skippy. It doesn't say ask me a bunch of questions because I don't have the answers to them. I'm just helping somebody out. Jesus. I just got nine messages. And the only person out of all those that I really will answer back because I like the cat is Jared. So, I mean, everybody else I put, talk to Billy. But Jared, I gave him some information on. But come on, man. It's super simple. It says right there.
Dude, you're dealing with Americans, dude. They don't fucking follow directions, bro.
Oh, but dude, all these managers and fighters start sending where, when, how much, what's the pay? Dude, did you not just read that? It says all information can be gotten through Billy or Mark with links to them. Like, they stopped reading at that last sentence. They just saw, ooh, I got a fight I can find, which is great. That's what this group
is
for.
Maybe what you should do with your post from now on, Skippy, is say, contact yada yada for more information about this fight. That way they have to read who they should contact before they get to read about the fight.
I'm going to start doing that.
These sons of bitches, they're not going to listen to you, bro.
They're like, even Billy and Mark are both like, yes, his comment's right. Contact me. I love it.
Carl, how's it going in Canada?
Good, man. I'm working on a fabulous chicken coop.
Chicken coop?
Yeah.
You guys have chicken or chicken nuggets? Because America, we hate chickens, so we make chicken nuggets.
I believe we have both. The family came home with four baby chicks, so now I have a job to do, and that's to build a chicken coop.
Did you pre-approve the purchase of these chickens?
Can you hear how excited I am about it?
Well, Carl, it's just funny to hear you tell this story and then Lapaki to tell the same story. We might be calling 911 to make sure the girls got home safe.
Chicken coop.
Well, shit, boy.
Are they at least egg droppers, Carl?
Oh, yeah, definitely egg chickens, yeah.
Good.
Now, will they be doing brown eggs or white eggs?
Green.
I don't know. I have no idea. We got four different kinds of chickens. Don't ask me what kinds they are, and I don't know. Let's see what happens, man.
Are you going to allow them to breed so you have more chickens?
No. No rooster.
I think, Skippy, that's what we should get Carl for a Memorial Day present. We'll send him up a rooster to knock up his four hens.
That way you have 12.
Speaking of present, Skippy will be getting his tomorrow, and you better send me a picture when you get it, man.
Straight up. Let's not talk about this because I don't want Lapaki to be upset.
I just want my business cards, man.
Oh, man. I can't believe I haven't sent you those things yet.
Carl just got technical.
I feel like Carl doesn't like me. I really feel like Carl's trying to send me off to like MMA topics or something. Because Chris Gregory's offering me business cards and a cubicle.
A cubicle, nice.
Yeah.
Things are looking up at MMAtopics.net.
Dude, that cubicle / daycare. He doesn't realize he'll be babysitting half the time.
All seven kids.
As long as I'm not applying Utter Butter to him, I can babysit. But I'm not putting his Utter Butter on it.
Oh, man. Could you imagine the guy, the cornerman, that's got to put the Utter Butter on the nipples before he puts on that pink rash guard to go out to fight?
I wonder if the MMA is going to allow Chris to fight in the rash guard or if he's going to make him go topless.
I say we should get a Twitter trend going on, # Utter Butter Topless.
TOPLESS, topless.
Carl, I guess you got to pay some bills. Boys, it was a wonderful night. MFC, don't miss it. Access Facebook.
Check out our sponsors. Clench Custom Mouth Guards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, Central Oregon Trike, Vision Smoke Shop, Draco Impact Armor, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Cross Roader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, The Hype Fight Store, NeverTap.ca, Brawl Base, and 24NLV.
Congratulations, Crocheting Insane!
Ward at Anthony Burchek at MFC 37. Go do work, son.
Go put Ben Wall out like the wrestler.
Wow, you went there. I don't believe that. You're dastardly.
Dude, I went there. Snap his neck. Like he did his girlfriend.
All right, we're in overtime.
Wow.
It's OT.
Dude.
How about those
I did just ask, I did just ask Dave. Yeah, you saw Skippy. I asked the question. I put it out there for the people. We're taking a poll. So, Carl, when are we going to get you, convince you it's time to go to an NFC event? Or do we need to convince Mark Pavlich to go to British Columbia first?
I would love it if he came out here, but he's got a good thing going where he's at. You know, I'm dying to get to an MFC event. That's a big haul. That's a big trip for me. That'd take me long. I would get to Skippy's place quicker than I would get to Edmonton.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Dude, it's really spacious up there.
Yeah, there's lots of open spaces. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about something more on the real. This weekend, we saw, you know, you were playing some poker, and you had a little too much fun. And now, I don't have a wild card anymore.
I was just pulling your leg. She's a girl that works for me, and she's got a Lincoln, and it's needing some parts, and mine is pretty much dead, so I just gave it to her.
Damn it. I totally like the poker story 100 times more.
Sorry. How I roll.
Chris Gregory's going to fucking hate us.
Oh, what are you guys doing? What are you guys up to?
Does Dave Jackson have a Twitter?
I'll ask him.
Does who have a Twitter?
Dave Jackson from Kansas City MMA, because I want to hashtag him up. I think it's KC MMA, but I'm not sure. KC Bandit. No, that's Jason High. Never mind.
Yeah, no, KC Bandit's, yeah.
What the hell sound clip is this? I gotta find out what's this. I don't know what this is. I'm just going to play it.
Do you know what they think when we walk down the street?
Oh.
That was for something from Milwaukee. Hey, dude, there's one on there that should say twat. Play that one.
Okay.
Chris Gregory, this is for you.
Hmm. Sure it's still here, Skippy?
It should be. Oh, here it is.
You are a useless twat compared to someone who serves delicious chicken bacon and Swiss sandwiches.
What's that called?
It's called
URA.
URA.
Oh, I saw that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, my bad. I mislabeled it, but I love that, dude. That's my favorite. Chris Gregory.
You are a useless twat compared to someone who serves delicious chicken bacon and Swiss sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. At KCMMA.com. Skippy, that's the Twitter handle.
At kcmma.com.
Dot, like the word dot com.
Oh, my God. That's pretty good.
Carl, so you probably know Mark Pavlich better than any of us. What do you imagine his mood was like yesterday?
I wouldn't imagine he was overly happy. Put it mildly.
I mean, can you believe that? I mean, you know, Mark has always been the guy that, you know, he's like, just tell me what's going on. I don't care. Just tell me. Like, you know, he's the guy that, you know, he might be frustrated with something like that, but he would appreciate the notice rather than blindsiding him, you know, last minute.
I would sure imagine so, yep. One thing about Mark, he does not like being blindsided, that's for sure.
David Maldonado just spoke that I want nipple action.
Carl, have you seen the post?
Let's see here. I got a notification. Let's see what it is.
Oh, you're probably going to get a lot of notifications.
That's pretty funny.
We need to get him a fight still. Hold on. I don't think that one flake is going to work. Oh, what about that guy Scotty Smith? That Chris and him always talk shit to each other, but they have each other blocked, so the only people that ever get to read it are us.
Dude, there's my answer to that.
That's one way to have a Twitter war, I guess. What did you say about me? What did you say? What did you say about me now?
Oh, man. This day is turning out to be a fantastic show.
Yeah, after a minor blackout there, Spencer sent me a message and said, we went black for a couple of minutes, but we came back. I don't know what the hell. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, they kicked me out. Luckily, they left Skippy alone, but they straight booted me out. I couldn't call back in for like 4 minutes.
You got kicked out and
Jason got kicked out as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Worst part about getting Jason was that I was calling him at his hotel room, and with the switchboard, you know, you get an automated machine that says, if you want this, push one. If you want this, push two. Well, you can't push any fucking buttons on the switchboard. So I had to let it play through like four times until the operator finally picked up.
And then you're like, that's when you go, this is KISS 97 FM Live. We're looking for Jason Zinbrath. He's the 99th caller this week. He's going to win a free Kia. That's right, a free Kia. Can you connect this to his room right away, ma'am? We're live on the air. Do you want to give a shout-out to your family?
I could hardly understand what she was saying. I was just like, give me room such and such, please. And
she must have been from America, huh?
She said something from somewhere. I couldn't understand. But she got me to the right room, at least, so it was all good. Hey, we should kill this show, guys.
Okay, let's kill it. Eagle, Lost,
okay.
Osprey.
Snow Owl. Snow Owl.
Time to disperse. Party's over.
Dude, if you've been wondering where to find the largest selection of custom glass products in Central Oregon, wonder no more. At Vision Smoke Shop, located on Southwest 6th in Redmond, they feature one-of-a-kind stuff from 16 local glass blowers. They don't only blow glass, they blow your mind, man. They got great prices on hookah products and tobacco, too, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Literally, the friendly staff can educate you. They'll be happy to get you up to speed on everything Vision Smoke Shop has to offer. Thinking your hectic disc golf schedule might make it tough to stop by? They understand. And at Visions, they've got everything you need to make your disc golf experience perfect. So it's worth your trip, because if there's one thing they don't like to see wasted, it's time. While you're there, be sure to check out the selection of custom painted longboards. Visit facebook.com/visionsmoke for a first-hand look at some of their unique items. Their prices are already affordable. And they also give a 10% discount to OMMP cardholders, because if there's another thing they don't like to see wasted, it's money. What do they like to see wasted? Well, you figure that one out. Vision Smoke Shop, located in downtown Redmond, the glassiest place in Central Oregon.
Okay, everybody in Edmonton, tune in.
The Edmonton Oilers are out. The Edmonton Rush are out. And the number one MMA organization in the country is going to be live May 10th at the Shaw Conference Center. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.ca. And when I say it's going to be nuts, it's going to be nuts. And I mean nuts. I'm nuts. It's going to be crazy.